So Mason just weighed in on text, Al. He's thinking Ton of Taylor may be a good name for the segment on the days that Taylor's in.
If we do a bunch of Funch and then it's a ton of Taylor,
I like it.
That's pretty good.
Sold. Thank you, Mace. We'll take that. We're going to just take that and run with it. We're not going to do any better there. I like it.
Let me throw this out there. So Mace put out a tweet yesterday showing their on the video board at Staples Center, right?
Yep.
So him and John have his, and Sedano and Cap have theirs. I'm just throwing this out there, Trav. Okay? Is there maybe some barter that we can do?
Like what?
Like, I don't – maybe give up what we have at SoFi for a week or two.
I don't want to give up anything I have at SoFi.
And then get a little bit of action at Staples Center. You might have gone down the road of you've already been there, you've done that.
I have. Yeah, I have.
I feel like I've been at every Laker game for 31 years in a row. And I have not been down that road.
Well, that sounds like
maybe there's a negotiation. Maybe everyone hires a team of attorneys and we try to figure out what is the right cup for one game, which, by the way, has 70,000+. We got to, like, there's a lot of things that we have to equate here.
Uh-huh. I hear you, and I respect it.
But I have to sell you first because I don't think you're sold on it.
Oh, I'm not sold at all. This is an AP. This is an Allen problem. This is not a Travis problem because I've been on there. Here's what we could do. If we want to, like, Photoshop our SoFi boards and put Mason's face where your face is, I'm okay with that. Like, that's fine. I'm just not coming off of SoFi. I'm staying up there. If we want to
negotiate. This is the fear. This was the fear. The fear was I can't even get into outside negotiations because I have issues internally.
Well, you do.
That was always my fear, bringing this topic
up. If you want to somehow bring a third party into this to get us on the Dodger Stadium Diamond Vision, now you have my attention.
Yeah, that's
what I mean.
Nobody's on there.
But the Dodger Stadium and the Rose Bowl are really the only two places I have left to get. The rest of it, I've checked all the boxes. I got Staples. I got the Coliseum. I've got the Big A. I've got SoFi. I've got the Bank. I've got
Honda
Center.
There's something going on here. There's something going on here because there's a rotating board outside of Staples Center. You know, ESPN has outside of the building, the TV building, there's a huge screen there. If you're walking out of Staples Center, we have a board there, and it rotates, and it will have – it actually promotes the post-game show. I just can't get in. But I just can't get in. They're letting me on the outside. I just can't get inside of Staples Center.
You're more of an outside guy. You're not allowed in. It's like, you know how some people have outside dogs and inside dogs?
Yes, that's right.
Some dogs stay in the yard. Some dogs come in the house. You're an outside dog.
Every time I hear May say anything about the SoFi board, in my head, I'm like, no, we just trade it out. You take – pick a week. Nah. Pick one of the weeks of a Rams game. I'll take one of the weeks of the Lakers game. Everybody wins.
If we want to take, like, Mace's and Ireland's face and just kind of superimpose them on your body, that's fine. But I'm staying. I'm not leaving. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. John Gruden is no longer the coach of the Raiders. He resigned yesterday, I guess is the technical description of what's happening, but it was only a matter. Apparently, the league wanted this resolved going into the weekend, that the league knew that the Raiders had this information. The league had given it to him and said, okay, Mark Davis, you do something about this, and he didn't. He just kind of let it sit there over the weekend. It generated a lot of momentum. We know that the Raiders played really poorly, and then the questions in the postgame conference were all about, hey, what about the emails? What about what you said about DeMora Smith? What about this? What about that? What about the next thing? And the Raiders already knew that all of these other emails were just waiting to get released to the public. And then yesterday, Monday Night Football, it comes out that John Gruden got fired. And I didn't know the content of these emails. I didn't know that this is what John Gruden had in his heart with when it comes to his feelings about gays or his feelings about women or his feelings about his black co-workers or players or peers. I didn't know that. But this John Gruden thing was a disaster from the jump. This is a guy that hadn't coached in 10 years. You mentioned this yesterday, Alan. I thought it was a really astute observation. The league has changed. The league has gotten smarter. The league has gotten more analytically driven. The league has gotten
younger.
It's gotten younger. Exactly. Mm-hmm. John Gruden is none of those things. John Gruden is a dinosaur, and not just by his football. Look at his emails, right? He's living in a time that doesn't really exist anymore, right? He's saying things that people really, thankfully, fewer and fewer people think this stuff. Thankfully, fewer and fewer people express these things, but John Gruden's sending them out in an email that this ended poorly. I didn't know it was going to end like this, but that this ended poorly and prematurely did not really catch me by surprise.
Well, anytime, you know, you have emails like that come out, and you know, in the beginning, it was the defense was, oh well, this was because we were in a lockout year, or we were close. They were actually negotiating with the NFL Players Association, and you know, it was a really tough time. Is this that? Emails go all the way up to 2018, so let's stop pretending like. And by the way, 10 years ago is 10 years ago. We're not talking.
10 years ago is 2011. Come on,
right?
Man.
We're not. It's not 50 years ago or something along those lines, right. But. I think any time that you kind of find out, you might know somebody, right? Like, and I obviously have zero relationship, but just in general, let's just talk in general. You might think you know somebody, but the reality is that person behind closed doors, that person who's doing things when the camera's not on, that person who's having those private conversations, that's the true person. So I think with the Gruden thing, this is obviously something over these last couple of days are coming out, which, by the way, this was an investigation on the Washington football team. This came up not because they were looking for something on John Gruden. It just became part of, okay, this is what we're finding about Gruden, and then the Washington Post obviously released it, and then, you know, here we are today. But you said something I thought that was interesting. Help me understand this one. If I told you, let's use as an example Pete Carroll or Sean McVay. Those are two coaches that I know they're completely different. Pete Carroll's obviously one. Has won a Super Bowl in the NFL. Sean McVay is one of the youngest, baddest, most up-and-coming coaches in the league, and everybody, you're starting to see a lot of Sean McVay prototypes in the NFL, right? They're trying to, other teams out there are trying to copy or mimic what Sean McVay is to the Rams, as best as they can from a coaching perspective. How long do you think some of their contracts are in the NFL? Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, Sean McVay. Nobody has a 10-year contract.
Yeah. Look, the Raiders are – they're such a unique animal, right? Their fan base is unique, that they're incredibly enthusiastic regardless of where they might be, whether they're in Oakland or Los Angeles or Las Vegas. Raider fans are Raider fans, and they're going to come and they're going to support the team, and that's great. But they're run unlike every other team in the league. They're run by one guy. Mark Davis, you know, took over after his father, Al Davis, ran the team by himself forever and ever and ever. Mark Davis has run this team by himself forever and ever and ever. And they run it just in a way that doesn't work anymore. No one else, to your point, gives somebody a 10-year contract. Nobody else gives somebody a 10-year contract that hasn't worked in the league in 10 years. I want to go back to something that Keyshawn said, because I think this connects with John Gruden was not a good coach his first time through the league. I know he won some games along the way, but he was not looked at as some revolutionary talent who, when Sean McVay showed up, everyone went, oh, wow, this is different. When you see guys that are new, and that's not what this was. He had some good teams. He went to Tampa and pushed them across the finish line. So he gets credit for that. But I want you to listen to what Key said about Gruden and saying that this guy has always been a fraud.
I didn't know that John would say things like that and put them in an email. He just always been a fraud to me. Never from day one, he's been a used car salesman. People bought it because he inherited a championship team built by Tony Dungy and Rich McKay, and he came in there with a little bit of different energy that we had with Tony, and it kind of kicked us over the top to get our world championship, which I am grateful for. But at the same time, I also saw through who he was through that journey of getting a championship.
The Raiders were playing good football on a trajectory that was positive and seemed to be sustainable under Jack Del Rio. They were getting better. And then they decided, you know what, let's go pull a guy out of the television booth that hasn't coached in 10 years, that after the shine had come off of the Tampa Super Bowl, that team was a terrible football team. They were not good. He goes away for 10 years. You bring him back in. That this ended like this is not – that it ended with racism, misogyny, and homophobia, yes, that's surprising. But that it ended badly, not that much of a surprise.
Yeah, I look at, and, you know, listening to Keyshawn, who's going to have, you know, obviously a better analysis than Keyshawn Johnson, but I don't know. I just kind of pay attention to a couple weeks ago we were talking about the Raiders and, wow, they started 3-0, and all of a sudden that Raiders-Chargers game was going to be incredibly exciting. And you and I both thought, hey, these are good storylines for football. From a sports perspective, this is exciting. Hey, how cool is this? L.A., you have a Chargers-Raiders Monday night game. It's the first game at SoFi Stadium for both of these squads playing against each other. From a football perspective, Trav, we're spending a lot of time on this. You have, you know, obviously gone out of your way to explain, no. From a football perspective, why are you giving a dude a 10-year contract who, by the way, has not won a playoff game, wasn't his last playoff win, and I think what –
the
2002.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, 2002 was the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
He's 22-31 since he came back to the Raiders. Obviously, he also in his when he first got to at the time Oakland, now Las Vegas, the trading away of Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper in his first season trying to kind of rebuild the squad. It's from a football perspective, it's not like he's put all of a sudden this team in the front row of the AFC West. That's never been the case.
So Rich Bisaccia, who is their special teams coach and assistant head coach, is going to take over for the Raiders moving forward. Here's something that I think is probably nothing that Raider fans have moved on to yet. This might be really good news for your team. To get him out of the building might be really good news for the team because, like you were talking about, the last playoff game he won was the Super Bowl. Okay, Keyshawn's Super Bowl winning team. Since then, 5-11, 11-5, good year. 4-12, 9-7, 9-7, 4-12, 7-9, 8-8. That's bad. Okay, that's not just not very good. That's downright bad. Now, look at his draft picks. Cleveland Farrell was regarded as a second-round pick. They took him fourth overall. Josh Jacobs, not too bad. Jonathan Abrams, not too bad, a little bit later on. Henry Ruggs, kind of a mixed bag. We've got all of these different guys in the draft that you could have had much later with all these high picks that haven't really panned out in any meaningful way. You get rid of Khalil Mack. You get rid of Amari Cooper. You get into some weird fight with Antonio Brown, who I get it is a strange guy on his own right. But it ends with you sending your hand-picked GM down there to get in some sort of weird altercation with him. That this guy is out of the building, I think, is actually really good news. I think it gives the Raiders a chance to be a football team as opposed to a floor show for John Gruden to be the headliner. Whenever we talk about the Raiders, we talk about John Gruden. Now that he's gone, we can talk about the Raiders and whether or not they are good enough to get that last spot in the AFC, whether or not they are a playoff team. Because up until this point, it's been all about John Gruden's draft and John Gruden trading away this guy and John Gruden having a conflict with Derek Carr. It's always John Gruden. Now that he's gone, this is good for the Raiders.
Do they still got any shot you think here of making the playoffs? You and I were talking about this a little bit earlier.
I think they do.
Okay, just go through the AFC real quick.
So seven
squads are going to get in.
Right. Yep. Here are six that feel like locks at this point, okay? The Chargers and the Chiefs feel like locks to make the playoffs out of the
West. There's two. Even though the Chiefs game below 500, they'll turn it around.
I'd be stunned if the Chiefs don't get in, right?
There's two right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go to the North. Cleveland and Baltimore feel like really sure bets to go to the playoffs out of the North, right?
Okay, there's four right there.
Four. The winner of the AFC South is going to go. That makes five. They're going to be terrible, but they're going to go. So that makes five. Okay?
Buffalo
out of the East makes six. Mm-hmm. Who's left? Here's who's left. Cincinnati, who's off to a good start, but you're buying the Cincinnati Bengals? Probably not.
Okay.
You've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are they're almost the opposite of the Raiders.
They're the opposite of the Raiders.
They're super steady. They have a really good coach who is, you know, his personality, don't get me wrong, but they're always pretty good. Ben Roethlisberger is done. There's a giant fork sticking out between his shoulder pads. He's done. But they're still kind of winning and hanging around. So they're in the mix. And the Raiders. And maybe you could throw the Broncos in there, but I haven't seen anything from the Broncos that leads me to believe they're a playoff team. I think the Raiders still could sneak in there.
I don't think they get in.
Who goes ahead of them?
Any one of those teams, I would have a greater –
Cincinnati
I'd have more
and Pittsburgh,
confidence.
You like them more? Denver?
It's not what I like. It's what I don't like. I don't think the Raiders get in because of the Raiders. And if one of these other teams kind of surprise or whatever the case, I get what you're saying. You're saying, look, you got basically six locked in, and the other one spot, there's no lock at all. So the Raiders could be in that position to go grab that spot. And I know it's still incredibly early in the NFL football season. But just to kind of play off of what you're saying, there's a, you know, the AFC West, the even though the Raiders started out 3-0, the talk of the AFC West has been the Chargers. And if anybody watched Monday Night Football yesterday, Ravens come back on the Colts. 4-1, 4-1 facing each other in Baltimore. Chargers and the Ravens, that's coming up this weekend.
That's a great game, and we're going to start to get a little bit of separation. And one of those teams, whether it's the Bengals, whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Steelers, they still got a playoff chance. I'm curious what Raider fans think of what went down with John Gruden. 877-710-ESPN. Do you like your football team more today than you did yesterday with John Gruden being down the road or not? Do you really wish that he were still here? All right, we'll get to that. Plus, get to see all the Lakers tonight, Slee. You got to be fired up for that preseason basketball with the real players.
Yeah, that's the hope. The hope is we'll get to see this entire Lakers team. And then I want to make some – there was some new news that came out on Kyrie Irving this morning and what that means for the Lakers, what that means for their championship hopes, championship aspirations. We could do all that coming up next. By the way, if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. This is the Travis and Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Or you, or an in and out employee, you going as a referee, it's perfect.
Almost feel like first of all, why do I feel like those are both compliments to me? I have no idea why. Why am I taking that as like a pride of joy? Like, no, you could have been a ref. No, you definitely could have been a ref.
No, see, that you just answered your own question. The reason that you took it as a compliment is why you figure in so prominently as a – because I don't – who wants to be the damn ref? It's the worst thing in the world.
I'm going to go a step further. The fact that I didn't, while I was at San Diego State University, didn't walk into – the gym there that everybody uses, and you know, there's intramurals going on and there's games going on. The fact that I didn't just walk in and start refereeing a game. Hey, if you need one, if you need an extra one, let me know. If your other guy's not showing up or you need a third ref, I could take baseline. I'll take baseline.
All right. This one is from Mr. Cheeto, and he says, is John Gruden 2021's Donald Sterling? It's kind of interesting that they're – you know, Donald Sterling is another one that was just a terrible, terrible guy. Mm-hmm. And then when he got moved out, the league forced him out, and Steve Ballmer came in. The Clippers they were good before Ballmer got here, but they've gone to a different level with him. John Gruden's presence inside that organization, I think, was a hindrance. I think it was something that prevented them from going, because look, the Raiders are starting over in Vegas, right? This isn't just the Raiders in Oakland and they're just going to run it back over and over and over again. There's a chance for a fresh start in Vegas. And now that he's gone and his mediocre coaching and his antiquated philosophies, his bad draft picks, never mind his terrible emails. Those aren't even worth discussing because it's so obvious that he needed to go because of those. But from a pure football perspective, him being out the door, Al, I think is an opportunity for the Raiders.
Well, you know, it's interesting to make the Donald Sterling. I just remember this about Donald Sterling. Before, I think everybody just kind of knew him as a bad guy, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was always the perception of Donald Sterling.
Not just a bad owner, but a bad person.
No, bad person. Like a bad guy. Like he's pulling ads out of the LA Times to show how great he is because
he got sued and lost in federal court for not renting his apartments to people of color. That's a bad guy.
But all that was public, kind of. You know, that's what I knew about Donald Sterling. 3 weeks ago, if you'd asked me about, you know, John Gruden, the only response I'm really going to have is from a football perspective, because I don't think if there were other things behind the scenes that other people knew, I don't feel it was as did you know that what. Some of this stuff wasn't public, I guess you can say, right? Like the last couple of weeks, but when they were 3-0, every conversation, a microphone that was in front of Gruden was about the 3-0 Raiders and how we're winning and how exciting it is to have a team playing well again. There was no other conversation. Sterling, I think we always knew, was just a bad human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I had heard whispers. I had heard things that Gruden was a bad guy, but not like that. Kind of stuff that came out, that was a bit of a surprise. Before we go to the Lakers, let's try one quick phone call here. Brian in Los Angeles. Brian, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Yeah, I'm just happy that John Gruden is out. He's been making the team about himself and very, very bad choices and decisions on releasing Khalil Mack, Omari Cooper. Look how great those guys are doing on other teams. It's just good. I think it's just good news. I'm from Los Angeles, but I'll support the Raiders wherever they're at. I just feel it's good news that John Gruden's out.
Yeah, I think, Brian, you're probably not alone. And you're right. Do you see Khalil Mack look the way that he's looked in Chicago? He's been great. You see Amari Cooper look really good in Dallas, and he has. And then you're looking at your own players like, we don't have a Khalil Mack on this team. We don't have an Amari Cooper on this team. And the players that you traded to get draft picks, you haven't replaced them with anything nearly as explosive in quality as Mack and Cooper. He wasn't good at coaching football. The ugly reasons that he got blown out, fine. But from a Raider perspective, I think this is a blessing in disguise. And what Brian just said is also true. When was the last time you heard somebody talk about the Raiders where John Gruden wasn't the topic of con? John Gruden's relationship with Derek Carr. John Gruden's relationship with Antonio Brown. John Gruden this, that, and the next thing. It was always about John Gruden. We talk a lot about Sean McVay, but we talk about Matt Stafford, and we talk about Cooper Kupp, and we talk about Aaron Donald, and we talk about Jalen Ramsey. Aside from just Sean McVay. And with the Raiders, it was always about Gruden.
Yeah, by the way, and that doesn't seem like a good thing for any franchise or sport. I mean, imagine if Dave Roberts had to always be the topic of conversation,
right?
That you just spent all your time talking about Dave Roberts or all your time talking about Frank Vogel. And those are actually two good examples because those are two guys that I think deflect a lot. They're not looking for the attention, where Gruden, he was the face of the franchise.
All right, Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. You're pretty fired up, I can tell. You get LeBron and Westbrook and all the guys tonight in a game that doesn't count.
So nothing's been confirmed, but I just saw this. This is kind of, we'll add a little wrinkle. Anthony Slater, who covers the Warriors for The Athletic. No Steph Curry, no Draymond Green tonight. So I think that maybe that changes things. I hope it doesn't change things for the Lakers because we still haven't got a chance to see Russ, AD, and obviously LeBron all play together. I know we kind of touched on this for a quick second. Trav, the result of the game will not matter, but it would be nice to see if there's a quarter where those three can play together just to kind of, you know, see, okay, what does this look like? Maybe a half where they play each 15 minutes total, something along those lines. And then whatever you do in the second half, you do. So we'll wait to see on that front. But I think the news earlier this morning is a lot more interesting to me. And I think if you're a Laker fan out there, really if you're an NBA fan, everybody is paying attention to the Kyrie Irving situation in Brooklyn.
Sure.
Let me tie this back to the Lakers for a quick second. So let me read this. Kyrie is not expected to be able to practice or play with the Nets while in New York City until he is eligible. So Kyrie has made, this is from Sean Marks, who is the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie has made a personal choice, and we respect his individual right to choose. Currently, the choice restricts his ability to be a full-time member of the team, and we will not permit any member of our team to participate with part-time availability. It is imperative that we continue to build chemistry as a team and remain true to our long-established values of togetherness and sacrifice. That's Sean Marks making the comment, the GM of Brooklyn. Got to be honest with you, Trav. I really, 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 really think what they're doing is the right thing to do for their team. And Kyrie, if as an individual wants to make individual choices, he has every right to do that. But I think what they're doing as a team, that's the smart thing to do. And I think this completely changes what's going to happen here in the NBA from your upper echelon teams. If the Brooklyn Nets were the favorites in Vegas and the Lakers were second, that might flip-flop if it hasn't already based upon what Kyrie ends up doing. And I don't think the Brooklyn Nets come out with a statement like this and say Kyrie will not be a part of our team until he's fully available to, you know, be a part of the team. That makes me also think that there isn't a solution in the near future.
No, and look, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's unsaid, but that's obviously, or I should say, that's also pretty obvious along the way. The Nets don't do this without Kevin Durant's blessing, right? The Nets do not go and issue this statement and walk this road if Kevin Durant hasn't at least been brought into the loop and saying, hey, this is what we're thinking. What do you think about this? That Kyrie, and I know I'm trying very hard not to do the I told you so thing here on this guy, because Kyrie is this guy, has been from the moment he showed up, that he's about him always. Always, okay? And whatever happens around him, he doesn't give a damn. Because this is what's happening. The Nets went to him and said, we'd rather have none of you than part-time. And your decision is we need all of you or not. And he's chosen no thanks. That the Nets put that out there publicly means that they don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Otherwise, I think they'd continue to work on this privately. They've chosen not to do that. Here's the other thing. Even if he changed his mind today, and I understand that the playoffs are a long way away, but he's still at least a month away, right? Because it's not just you need to get the shot. It's you need to be fully vaccinated, which means the shot, wait a couple of weeks, another shot, wait another couple of weeks, and then you're fully vaccinated. So he's, whenever he decides, if he decides to change his mind, add a month to the back end of it before he's able to come back into this thing. And they issued the statement, Al, not the decision they made so much, but that they issued the statement saying, we're just going to move forward like we're not going to have him. And if he comes back, great, we'd love to have him. I think speaks volumes of how they feel about him.
Well, and just by, let me clarify one thing, because this was a topic that we were all a little confused on. And Anthony Slater for The Athletic covers the Warriors, came on the pregame show, and he's talking about Andrew Wiggins, and then Kyrie got brought up. And I guess if you get your vaccination shot, if you start the process, you can actually come back right away. So
Now
we'll get to go through your 72 hours showing a negative COVID test. But again, your GM is not putting out a statement unless he thinks we're probably not having – it's not like Kyrie is giving them any indication that, hey, give me another week or so and I'm going to come back. I don't think you're putting out that statement unless you think that Kyrie's not going to be back for a little bit.
I'm going to say it one more time. It's a Jerome Bettis quote that I've heard, and I love it, love it, love it. If everywhere you go it smells like crap, it's probably you. And everywhere he's gone, there's been trouble. Everywhere. In Cleveland, trouble. In Boston, trouble. In Brooklyn, trouble. It's not everybody else's fault. If everywhere you go it smells bad, it's probably you, and that's what's going on with
Kyrie. Well, Trav, and just to put a cap on this here, if Kyrie he's not a part of the near future for the Brooklyn Nets, still a really, really good team. You're not the favorites anymore. Lakers become the favorites.
No, that three-headed monster is now a two-headed monster. The Lakers have three guys. They have two advantage Lakers, and we'll see how that goes. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Go Ducks, Slee. I am all about my Anaheim Ducks. You should pick a team. You should have a team.
I gotta pick
so
a
I
team.
Can give you a hard time.
Got to pick a team. I'm not ready
Seattle
to make
Kraken.
That decision. No, I might go. I might go Canada on you.
Okay. What are you gonna go, like the Leafs? You gonna go Habs? Are you
Listen,
gonna go Ottawa Senators? Where are you
this
going?
This is what I need from you. I need from you to just give me my space when I'm ready to reveal. I might wait till January 1st to look at the standings.
I want to see you walk into the studio one day wearing an Austin Matthews Maple Leafs jersey.
100%.
Or sweater. Excuse me. They're sweaters in hockey. They're not jerseys along the way. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Little fact or cap.
I'm back, you guys, from my adventures in Colorado.
Welcome back.
I think I brought the cold weather with me, so I'm sorry for that Los Angeles. All that wind is my fault. So,
yeah, 45 mile per hour wind in center field yesterday didn't help, Trev. That didn't help.
No, it did not.
And I also think that, Ellen, I'm going to try to talk you into being a Caps fan. That's what I'm going to do. But anyway.
I'm listening.
I think that's what people in LA are looking for is more Washington Capitals conversations.
Okay.
I think that's where you should go.
Speaking of which, NHL being on ESPN will turn you into more of a hockey fan. Travis is his factor cap.
I think it's fact. I am a hockey fan. I am an Anaheim Ducks fan. I got turned into a hockey fan about 10 years or so ago when I was working on a different station that carried the Ducks. I was kind of hockey indifferent at the point, and I went all in on it. It is a great sport. It is an unbelievable sport to watch live. Once you get in the building, it becomes that much better on TV after that. Al, I am a hockey fan. I want you to get on board, and I think ESPN hitting us with promos, TNT and TBS and everywhere else that is going to have hockey. It's going to be hard to not see hockey moving forward.
Well, first of all, one of the main reasons why I'm on 710 is my hockey knowledge, and I think most people know that. I'm the guy icing offsides. You say I'm there. I'm the guy.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not. Yeah. Do you know soccer rules?
Yeah.
Then you know hockey rules. They're incredibly similar. They're incredibly similar.
To answer your question, Emily, I think this is fact, and this is a perfect example. I just naturally find myself, okay, I'm going to turn on ESPN. I'm going to turn on ESPN. I naturally go to ESPN. I think this is one of the things we say it sometimes. Who was your buddy and you guys had a fantastic show together when you and Marcellus were doing the show together, right?
Yep.
When Marcellus was on TV on ESPN versus when he's on TV now on Fox, it's a difference. It's a
sure.
difference. You have a natural tendency, whatever's on ESPN, to kind of, you'll let it marinate a little bit longer. This deal with Disney, ABC, ESPN, to have NHL hockey, I'm never, put it this way, I'm going to know a lot more about hockey than before. I might follow a little bit more because the games are going to be on a network that I'm constantly on that channel. You put that thing in front of me enough, I'm not telling you that it's ever going to be NFL, Major League Baseball, or NBA to me, specifically NBA, but I think I'll follow the NHL more.
Go Ducks!
All right, so John Cusack was caught supporting both the Cubs and the White Sox and was confronted about that. So, Alan, you
yes.
can root for the Clippers and the Lakers. Is this factor cap?
Okay, so I saw that video, and this was... okay, let me say this. If I saw, let me use as an example, Trav. If I saw
yep.
Snoop Dogg, right, who's a very, very well-known Los Angeles Laker fan, all of a sudden the Lob City Clippers start playing good basketball, and then he rocks a Clippers jersey, and he's at Staples Center cheering for the Los Angeles Clippers, I'd be like, okay, well, that's a little interesting, a little disappointed, Snoop. But what I'm not going to do is go up to Snoop Dogg with a camera and confront him about it, and then go put it up on social media just so everybody can see, hey, look, I'm calling this guy out. Would I root for the Los Angeles Clippers? Of course I wouldn't. Everybody knows that. I'm a Laker fan. No, I'm not going to root for two teams in the same sport, in the same city. That's my example, is just using the Lakers and the Clippers. So I say fact on that, but I don't need to take some video and go put it up on social.
Look, I'm okay if you can root whoever you want, as long as there's not direct competition between the two. The Lakers and the Clippers are a little bit different. The Lakers and the Clippers are in the same division. They're competing on the same half of the draw. They are going to eliminate each other before you get to a championship round. So there's a little more conflict in there. The better comp, I think, is the Dodgers and the Angels. And I don't think there's a ton of crossover, but if you're a Dodger fan and you want to go watch Shohei Ohtani or Mike Trout and enjoy that, I'm all right with it. It can't be your second favorite team, but if you want to go watch baseball from the other league, I'm 100% okay with that.
Okay, so regardless of the time of day, it is acceptable to drink before you get on a plane. Travis, is this factor cap?
Sure. Yes, fact. Look, if you don't like to fly, I get it. If you're going on vacation and your vacation starts at 7 o'clock in the morning, get your vacation on. I'm 100% okay with it. Just don't be a jackass. Don't make it impossible for your fellow flyers. Don't make it difficult for the staff on the airplane. But if you want to, you know, get your party started before you get on that airplane, I'm not here to judge anybody. Yeah, do your thing.
Cap, I will judge you, and I will also I think the bar should remain closed until a certain hour. Let's kick things off around 11 a.m. What do you think, Trav? That's a good time? I think 11 a.m. is a reasonable time.
No bad time to have a good time.
I don't need – that's awesome. That should be your quote moving forward. I don't need to watch somebody at 6:45 ordering another Jack and Coke, 6:45 a.m., and then sitting next to me on the plane wanting to have a conversation. I just smell the liquor coming off his breath
that's not great.
While I'm having my coffee.
That. Are you going to an airport where that guy that's ordering the Jack and Coke at 6:45 is jamming a funnel down your mouth and making you have one too? If that man wants a Jack and Coke, let him live in peace.
Yes,
Slee. I would. Listen, Taylor, don't just jump in here.
It sounds like you're trying
here.
To referee people, Slee.
Exactly. Damn right I am.
This came from my flight yesterday where this girl was trying to finish her full beer and her group was about to be called. And we're not allowed to take beer onto planes anymore. You can't bring an open beer.
Were you ever?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I can't remember.
I missed that part. I feel like I've missed ample opportunities.
But she was just chugging right before they're calling group number four and she's just trying to get on it. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. 7 a.m. Yeah. So, anyway.
That is very aggressive.
Yes.
Very aggressive.
Good for her. Have a fun day. Albert Pujols should stay with the Dodgers one more year if only for the hugs. Alan, is his factor cap?
Let me put the hugs away for a quick second. How many hits did the Dodgers have yesterday? Have total? How many hits? Five hits?
Five.
Two of them came from Albert. If he stays with the Dodgers, it's because he's still chasing that World Series. It's because the Dodgers feel like they can use him. I know one of the things, Chav, you were talking about, this is one of the discussions right now, the conversations in baseball. Will the DH come to the NL? I put it this way, if Albert doesn't stay with the Dodgers, I can see him in a predicament and a situation next season. Maybe it's in St. Louis. Maybe it's with another team. I think he's still got some juice left to where he can help out for a team, but obviously the pricing has to be right.
It's entirely up to him, right? The designated hitter is very likely to be on all 30 teams next year. They're going to bring it to the National League. That is his role moving forward. That you could play him at first base once in a while and maybe get away with it, but he's not a first baseman anymore. So does he want a DH? Does he want to be a part-time DH? And where does he want to do it? What you said, Al, I think is right. He wants to pick a team with a chance to win a World Series. That would make a lot of sense for the Dodgers, regardless of what happens tonight or Thursday or whenever they either win the World Series or don't. The Dodgers can be really good again next year, so it fits here. The team seems to love him. The organization seems to love him, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he went back for just kind of one lap around the track in St. Louis either. That would make a lot of sense too. I hope he still plays. He's still a good player. He's not what he was, but he is still a very dangerous weapon off that bench. I would like to see him continue to play. I'd love to see him get 700 home runs, which, what is he, 29 away, something like that? It's not a ton. It's not a short season. It's probably a season and change or a lot of at-bats, but I would love to see him do it. All right, Pete Carroll. Talking about the USC job, before everybody gets excited, slow your roll. He's not coming back, but he did have some interesting thoughts on what he and his success did to that job. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet the pent-up demand for all of these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter, that's where. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive address, ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY. Does Chris ever root for something? Or is his entire existence just predicated on rooting against everything and hoping that the whole city burns? What are his teams? What does he root for?
Can I read off? I don't know if you're running for president in 2024, but Joey Jojo on Twitter says there's no bad time to have a good time. Quotes that Travis Rogers, hashtag Rogers Sliwa 2024. Is that your slogan?
Hey, it's a pretty good one, right? There's
in
no
America,
bad time to have a good time.
One final thing I want to say. There's no bad time to have a good time. Everybody's like, what? What
are you talking about? I'd say with a little more flair than that. I wouldn't be reading it off a teleprompter. I'm feeling it in my bones. I feel it in my soul, Slee.
There is no bad time to have a good time.
And then there's Travis we got another Rogers. Tweet here. That's right. Hey, I say things every once in a while. Chance says, Trav, every time I really start to like you, you have to go and say something crazy like go Ducks. You're working in L.A., brother, and work across the street from the Kings. I know that. I have friends that work for the Kings, longtime friends of mine, but I root for the Ducks. What do you want me to do? That's my team, and that's who I'm going to stand with. And if you don't like it, well, that's up to you, I guess. Go Ducks along the way. We can talk about it a little later. So we have it in. Walker Buehler's going to pitch, Al. Walker Buehler is going to pitch for the Dodgers today.
Right move. 100% the right move. Yep.
Yeah, I think so. Put it to you this way. The wrong move would have been Tony Gonsolin, who gets bombed out in an inning and change, and now you're behind 3-0 in the second inning. If Walker Buehler gets tagged around, it's like, hey, it's Walker Buehler. What do you want me to do? I think it's the right call.
You know, you said this, and this was part of the conversation you were having in that wild card game, that if there was a scenario that played out, that by the time the game was over and Julio never came in, you're like, well, what are we doing here, right? That was one of your arguments you made, and that was also the game that Dave Roberts, every single move he made worked, every single one. He was flawless in that game. At least the players made him flawless. This is the I thought this was the no-brainer. Yes, Walker Buehler gets the ball. You have not just Tony Gonsolin, but you have everybody else that's going to be available just trying to get you to Thursday. You're going to have a day off tomorrow. Julio's ready to go on Thursday. It seems like the right move to make.
However Dave Roberts drove to the ballpark against the Cardinals, whatever undershirt he had on, whichever socks he put on, left foot first, right foot second, left shoe first, right shoe second, whatever. I need him to follow that pattern for today.
Same thing.
Let's not alienate the gods. Let's just make sure that everything is ready to go, because you're right. Everything did work out there, but I keep going back to this, and he avoided this, by the way. I go back to game 7 against the Astros in 2017, where Yu Darvish started and got clobbered, and then you brought in Clayton Kershaw, who pitched really well, but by then the game was over. The game had already been decided. The Dodgers were behind by 4 or 5 runs. I forget exactly what it was, but let's fire our best bullets first and then figure it out from there, and that's what they're going to do. ESPN Radio. I'm sorry, go ahead, Al.
No, I was just going to say, so you mentioned something earlier in the show. You talked about how let's use that situation, Yu Darvish, Clayton Kershaw situation. The difference today is, you mentioned it earlier, hey, you got a couple runners on and there's nobody out in the second inning. Walker Buehler's having a little bit of trouble. Somebody takes one and let's say gets a double off of him, and then very next batter walks him in 5 pitches, and you feel like maybe Buehler doesn't have his best stuff. Gonsolin's already up, as in you're not waiting for a predicament or a situation tonight where he gave up 3 runs and then you decided, okay, let's get somebody up in the pen.
No question. There are no let's see what happens next moments tonight. You have to go do something. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle your home, auto, and motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Because if you wait, that 1-0 moment can all of a sudden be a 4-0 moment in 2 batters. You can't wait. You got to go quickly. Now, look, here's the rub. You don't know what's waiting on the other side of that bullpen gate. You're optimistic that the next guy that's going to come in is going to be better than the guy that you're taking out, or, you know, you're going left-right matchup, or you've got a guy that's got really good numbers against another guy, but you don't know. Mm-hmm. I think what matters the most is, what does it look like? For instance, the scenario that you just described, Slee, the scenario where there's 2 runners on in the first inning and all of a sudden they score a run, right? It's 1-0. They're 2nd and 3rd. There's only 1 out. Well, did he walk some guys? Did they hit the ball off the wall?
How did he get
or
there? Yep.
Was there an error? Was there a bad call? Was there a soft liner that just
blooped in? Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So in that scenario, you say, look, he's actually pitching pretty well. We can see what happens here. But once it gets to that 2nd and 3rd run, then you got to go try to just change the mojo at some point. And I think he will. I think Dave is going to do a good job today. My fingers are crossed. It's such a weird dynamic, Slee. I'm in such a weird emotional place with this team, because my brain is telling me the Dodgers still have a very good chance to win this series. They have a good pitcher going tonight. They have a good pitcher lined up for Game 5, and the Dodger lineup is loaded with all-stars and MVPs. What more do you want? That's the intellectual side of what I'm looking at. The emotional side of what I'm looking at is the Giants got three hits last night and won the game. The Giants made not one, not two, not three, not four, but maybe five defensive plays that probably saved the game. They played so incredibly well. They got the big hit that emotionally you start to think, hey, man, it's just not meant to be. And I have a little devil and angel on my shoulder right now between the emotional side and the intellectual side.
All right, we got a lot that we, you know, obviously still want to hit on this Dodgers conversation. Walker Buehler will start game four tonight. Plus, I know, Trav, we want to get into Pete Carroll had some comments about the USC job that I thought I kind of find fascinating, and we'll see, obviously, what USC, who, by the way, plays Notre Dame this upcoming weekend. So a lot on that front as well.
I want to do that. Plus, we got the answer to the Buehler question. What about the answer to the Gavin Lux question? Is he going to be in the lineup, and should he be? That's all coming up. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.